KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 38th Annual Portland International Film Festival, which begins February 5th with a screening of Wild Tales at the Fox Tower and continuing through February 21st at many locations all over Portland. This year's festival brings over 150 films from around the globe to the Portland metro area. Again, that's the 38th Annual Portland International Film Festival, running through February 21st. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fogring, and the show is Fight the Empire. And our guest today is Loretta Napoleoni, who has written several best-selling books on terrorism, including Rogue Economics, Terror Incorporated, and Insurgent Iraq. In her latest book, she also is a writer for several European newspapers. And her latest book is The Islamist Phoenix. Loretta Napoleoni, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you know, it's an amazing book. We should say right now that the Islamist Phoenix does not refer to a city in Arizona, does it?
No, it isn't.
It's something much more deadly in a way.
Yes.
The thing, you know, I mean, it's the Islamist State is in the news so much lately that people focus on their barbaric punishments. And which raises the question, if they are that evil, that nasty, how come they have so much support?
Well, I think this is a very good question, because they are actually sending two different messages to the world. One, of course, goes to the West, and it is a message of barbaric behavior, the beheading, the most recent one, burning alive of the Jordanian pilot, absolutely gruesome. And this is a message to scare the West. So terrorism, as we know, as a main task to terrorize people. Then there is another message, which of course is sent to the Muslim world, and in particular to the young people of the Muslim world who are very close to radicalization, but they're not there yet. And this is a message completely different. It is a message of the creation of a state, which is the caliphate, which is their state, a state that will protect them wherever they are, that will offer deliverance from centuries of oppression, colonization, but also a state that will give the young Muslim who are living in the West the possibility to belong to a nation that is their own nation. So that is very, very important. And this is why they have support, because they offer something that nobody else has ever offered to these people before.
Well, you know, they're building a nation. The U.S. has been trying to do nation building now for quite a while, and they haven't succeeded very well. How does Islamic State do it?
Well, the building the nation is very different, of course, from the way the U.S. has tried to build a nation. Now, they're using the classic strategy of the war of conquest. So they've used the military infrastructure that they had, that they actually, built thanks to the funding of the other Arab state, in particular we're talking about the Gulf state, to create a powerful military machine. And then with that, they started to conquer territories, initially in northern Syria, and then, of course, also in northern Iraq. So it's a different way, I think, of building a nation, because it's a traditional, almost a middle age kind of way of building a nation. So far, it seems it's working, because they're also using interested techniques to achieve the consensus of the local population. So, for example, the resources that they conquer in this war, they are shared through joint ventures with the local population, using the tribal leaders as a sort of negotiator. So, to a certain extent, the local population almost welcomes them, because these are regions that have been under the thumb of dictators, warlords, that have been in civil war for a very long time. So the simple fact that somebody comes to establish law and order, give the population the possibility to have a sort of normal life, it is welcome. So that's more or less the strategy that they're following, which is working out, but we don't know if it's going to work in the long term, of course.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because when they start holding territory, I heard some NATO general or something saying that, and once they start holding territory, we can bomb the hell out of them and destroy them that way. Is that true or not?
Well, I mean, I think we don't, to be honest, I don't think what is happening there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anybody there. We don't have journalists. We do not have intelligence. So the reports that we're getting from that area are reports that are coming through Twitter, Facebook, social media, which are easily manipulated. So I would say that, for example, the situation in Kobane. So everybody through the social media saying, oh, they lost Kobane, the Kurds have conquered Kobane. The truth is that Kobane doesn't exist anymore. It's a town which has been destroyed completely. So what the Kurds have conquered is ruins. Do we know why the Islamic State all of a sudden withdrew? Do we know what is their strategy? Did they decide to go somewhere else to defend Mosul, for example, which is much more important? So we don't really know what is going on there, and we don't know the strategy. There is a lot of propaganda, and this is why it's so difficult to read exactly. Also, how popular they are inside the caliphate.
Yes.
So that's my answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you say in your book is how, they have their own funding. They don't depend on donors. They fund themselves in a way, like a state within a state. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, basically what they did was this is a group which was called the Islamic State of Iraq in 2010. This is when al-Baghdadi became the leader. So when he became the leader, he went back to the original name of the group. It was not any longer al-Qaeda in Iraq. So this is the group that comes from al-Zarqawi group. So they were on the verge of extinction, because they didn't have any support in Iraq. They had lost a lot of fighters through the Sunni Awakening, which took place in 2007, together with the surge that was launched by the U.S. So the decision was taken to cross over to Syria, because in Syria, civil war had just started, and it was possible to tap into the war by proxy, which was funded by various countries. So we talk in particular about Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar. So these countries were funding armed organizations, Sunni armed organization, to fight against Assad in order to bring about a regime change in Syria. Now, of course, the regime of Assad is a Shia regime. So this explains why Saudi Arabia, for example, wanted to change the regime in Syria. So there, the organization, which was called the Islamic State in Iraq, was able to get a lot of money. And with this money, instead of fighting the war by proxy, so instead of attacking the army of Assad, they attacked other jihadist groups, so other Sunni groups that were fighting against Assad, and they conquered strategic territories. Strategic territories means territories where they were important resources, so oil, water, but also agricultural products. So once they managed to...
I'll tell you what, I think right now, why don't we continue that discussion in a few minutes. Right now we have to go out to our friends in the pledge desk, and then we'll come back to our guest, Loretta Napoleone.
That's right.
Thank you, Pear. So tell me, Lynn.
Yes, Will.
What do people need to do today?
It's easy. They need to pick up the phone because this is the KBOO Community Radio's winter membership drive right now, right at this time. And if you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266 to support KBOO, you can get a copy of Loretta Napoleone's The Islamic Phoenix, The Islamic State, and The Redrawing of the Caliphate, I am assuming, because that didn't get printed on there. But that's right, for a $60 minimum donation, that is $5 a month, folks. It is easy. You can get it with an EFT. Our folks over here at the membership desk at the Palace of Pledge, at the wonderful place back here where we are taking your membership donations right now.
That's right. And if you pick, not if, when you lovely folks pick
right
up the
now,
phone
right
and dial 877-500-5266. Let me say that one more time. It's 877-500-5266. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's when you pick up the phone and make your support happen for this terrific show that our pair is putting on for us with a fascinating guest. It's Loretta Napoleone. Clearly knows her stuff, and it's such a complex issue, the way the maps were drawn after the Sykes-Picot Agreement in the Middle East, and onwards. It's been a mess. It's been a mess created in many ways by the European and American allies after the First World War, and it's gone on from there. And as I said, the redrawing of the caliphate and the Saudi Arabian backing. I didn't even know that the Alawite regime was a Shia regime, Bashar al-Assad. So I'm learning stuff from this, and I know you folks are out there too.
KBOO folks, always reporters and public affairs hosts always go behind the scenes to get more information, to get you the most information you can possibly have. And what we're asking from you right now is to dial 877-500-5266 to support that work. You can do it by dialing 877-500-5266 right this very moment.
And it's also...
because you're listening, and it's fun. And if you do it now, then you can hear the rest of Loretta Napoleone's incredibly interesting talk.
That's true. And it's also very easy to donate online. You don't even have to talk to anybody. If you're feeling a little misanthropic, you can pick up the... can get on the computer, go to our website, which is kboo.fm, and it's very easy to donate whatever sum you feel is appropriate for your income, and support us that way. And please, we want to thank everybody who's called so far, and we want to thank in advance all the people who are going to call.
Absolutely. Back to you, Pear.
Okay, we're back with our guest, Loretta Napoleone, and we're talking about her most recent book, just out, The Islamist Phoenix, and the phoenix of legend was a bird that rose out of the ashes. Is that what the Islamic State is doing?
Yeah, well, this is why I use the word phoenix, because we thought we had destroyed completely the al-Zarqawi group. We had destroyed the jihadist group that was linked to him in Iraq. And then, you know, from the ashes of this disaster, basically, here we are, we got... a new phoenix. This is why I was saying that the group is the same of al-Zarqawi. It was about to be completely dismantled when al-Baghdadi had the idea to move into Syria and tap into the war by proxy in Syria. So to answer your question on how they fund themselves, basically in 2012, beginning of 2013, they managed to control a territory big enough, rich enough, to stop depending on the funding from the sponsors. And this is when basically they were free to do whatever they wanted, which is, of course, to recreate the caliphate, to become a political power in the region. So not any longer an armed organization, not any longer an armed organization funded by foreign sponsor, but their own state. And this is when I think the West should have done something about that. And my question is, how is possible that we didn't know anything? How is possible then the Western intelligence did not know that this organization had morphed into a state? And the answer is that we trusted our allies in the Gulf. So we delegated, to a certain extent, the management of this war by proxy in Syria to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, so to our allies in the Gulf. And that was a terrible mistake.
Well, you mentioned funding. It's interesting. This just came out the other day. According to a Pakistani newspaper, the Express Tribune, a Islamic State leader, commander in Pakistan, has said that he was receiving funds through the United States. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't say where these funds originated. The story doesn't go into a lot of details, but somehow the funds came through the United States. Is that credible?
Yeah, I think it is credible. Of course, you know, we need confirmation. But, I would say that the U.S., and the European powers at the moment are openly funding the Kurds, including the PKK, which is still in the terrorist list of the State Department. So I think it is possible, because in this war by proxy situation, and this I described it in the book, how different is this war by proxy from the classic war by proxy of the Cold War? Because, I mean, in the Cold War, you had two superpowers, so two groups that were funding terrorist organizations, fighting each other along the periphery of the sphere of influence of, you know, their own countries. That's it. Now, you actually have, a plethora of countries. Everybody can't fund its own terrorist group. In fact, you know, this is what's happened in Syria. I mean, we have, you know, Iran, which is involved together with Russia, funding, you know, the Shia groups, the Hezbollah, for example, which are fighting against the various arms organization bankrolled by Saudi Arabia, by, you know, all the other, you know, Sunni countries. And then all of a sudden, now we also have the Europeans and Americans involved, either, you know, giving arms to the Kurds and other Sunni groups inside Syria, or, you know, using the drones, that's the case of the U.S., bombing the Islamic State. So, you see, do we know where our money are actually going? Do we know which group we are funding? I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Well, we arm with these. I remember back a while ago, we were arming these so-called Syrian, the moderate rebels, but now apparently they are defecting to the Islamic State.
Yes, I mean, there is this other phenomenon which is taking place, of course, is the fact that the Islamic State is attracting fighters because it's winning, because it's perceived, you know, as I explained it before, as the new state for every single, you know, Sunni Muslim. To a certain extent, there is, and I say this in the book, there is a sort of seduction, which comes with the idea that the patriotic idea that we are building our nation, we're building the true nation, we are recreating the nation that the prophet created, but in modern terms, so the 21st century of the caliphate, is very appealing. It is very appealing. And let's not forget, these are areas that have been a war for a very, very long time. So, you know, war also blurs the boundaries, I think, of ideology. And at the end of the day, you know, you want to be with the winner.
Well, I think a lot of these nation states in the Middle East now are artificial creations. They were created by the imperial powers, and they hamper development of, you know, what you might call the Arab nation or the Ummah. I think that's the word for it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what basically is the problem of the Middle East is the fact that the states, nation, kingdoms, they have been created by the European powers, in particular after, you know, World War One, and partly also after World War Two. So really, there is not a historical tradition. I mean, what is their political idea of a nation in terms of positive nation, let's go, what I call, you know, the utopia, the political utopia, is the caliphate. Because that was a moment of greatness. It was a splendid civilization. It was, you know, unlike what this modern caliphate is. It was actually extremely tolerant in terms of religion. It was culture. So it was completely different from what it is, this caliphate, but the political idea is the caliphate. So they go, but they keep going back. The political utopia goes back to the caliphate, and now, for the first time, this idea has been implemented. So there is a territory, there is a space, there is a border, let's call it, which is defended by the Islamic State. So that's, again, the seduction. It's, I am in Jordan, I am in Syria, I'm in Lebanon, and I don't feel I belong because, you know, the elite are corrupted, because, you know, this is not my nation, because, you know, the elite seems to pursue the interests of the West. And then all of a sudden, across the border, there is this state. So, you know, it's appealing. It's appealing.
Well, I think now we're going to go out. We're going to make an appeal to our members and listeners. So we're going to go out to our friends at the pledge desk. And then when we come back, we will talk with our guest, Loretta Napoleoni. And I think I'd like to find out more about how do we combat this group. But right now, to our friends at the pledge desk.
Thank you, Pear. And,
you,
Pear. You know, this is someplace where Ms. Napoleoni, thank you. Sorry, having a bad morning. that she talks about how you don't know where our money is going in fighting this particular thing. And with ISIS, you know where your money goes with KABU.
Yep.
Come down and take a look. It's all we have. 8 paid staff. We have electric bills to pay. We have really simple needs. And your contribution right now, when you call 877-500-5266, that's 877-500-5266, will help us cover those very modest needs that we have.
That's right. That's absolutely true. And there are modest needs and modest staff and modest volunteers. But free speech does cost a bit of money
that's
to put
right.
out there. And where else would you find such a fascinating show? This Loretta Napoleoni interview is just amazingly interesting to me. And it's talking about the future. It's not talking about what's happening right now. Well, it is, obviously. But it's also talking about the way the map will look 10 years from now, 100 years from now. These disputes are not just, you know, people feuding on borders. This is, the borders are going to be wiped out. And you will find out about this information by listening to KBOO.
But to keep listening to KBOO.
I was going to say.
You were going to do that? Well, you'd say that well. You say it well.
I will then. I will say 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU. And when you dial that phone, you will be getting through to our lovely volunteers, and they will be taking the information we need to keep this terrific radio station going, and you will be pledging your support to a unique resource.
And, you know, if you are a sustaining member, which who we love you, you could think about...
Right.
That you could think about just bumping that up $1, $2, $5, $10. You know, we will take truly anything you want to give. And more, and more, and more. 877-500-5266. It's
That's
a way to
right.
just sort of keep your membership current. Because it does, you know, with a sustaining membership that is taken electronically every month, it's like you kind of forget about it. But this will, you can bump up a little bit to $20 a month and get one of our hoodies, fabulous fancy black hoodies that you can show everyone what a proud KBRU listener you are. 877-500-5266. Or if you're sitting in your jammies on this cold day or in your little office cubicle, KBOO.FM to our website. It's secure, it's easy, and it's fast, I say.
Maybe you're wearing your pajamas in your cubicle at work because that's the kind of person you are. And you're the kind of person who's going to pick
right.
up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. Please pledge your support today. It's very important. Please pledge your support right now. We want to thank everybody who's called already. And we also want to thank people in advance. Those people who are going to call up and pledge their support today. It's so important. Strike while the iron is hot. The iron is hot. I just checked it. I've actually sore finger.
All right, good. 877-500-5266. Back to you, Pear.
Okay, we're back with our guest, Loretta Napoleone, who wrote The Islamist Phoenix. And I have to say, it's an amazing book. It's not a real long book, but it's got lots of interesting information in there, things I didn't know about the Islamic State. And so right now, we've got a few minutes left. What can we do to fight this thing? I mean, nothing the U.S. has done seems to be working very well.
Well, I really think that the military intervention is not working. I mean, it didn't work in 2003. I mean, of course, we could consider military intervention again, but that means that we will have to leave the troops there for a very long time. I don't think the Europeans or the Americans are willing to do that. I don't think the public opinion in this country is willing to back a decision like that. So we need to find another way. The war by proxy, which is, you know, what we're doing at the moment, is not working either, because, I mean, the war by proxy produced the Islamic State. So who is going to assure us that we are not going to have another group, which today we're bankrolling, which will want to do the same thing, meaning, you know, to be a political power in the region, to carve its own state. We know that the Kurds want to create their own nation. Are we risking to have Turkey destabilized? Because, of course, you know, a big chunk of this new nation that the Kurds want to create will come from Turkey. And Turkey is the gate to Europe. So I think that avenue also is dangerous. I would say that perhaps the best way is to work the way the diplomacy worked in the 19th century, trying to understand exactly what the Islamic State want, how big they want to be, what are their political objectives. And I know it's very difficult, but, you know, informal relationship with the tribal leaders of the region they control. Let's not forget that without the support and the consensus of the tribal leader, they would not be able to be where they are. So I would establish a sort of channel of dialogue to understand exactly who our enemy is and what he wants, and then take it from there. For sure, this is a problem that has to be solved locally. So the military intervention, even the diplomatic negotiation to a certain extent, have to be done inside the Middle East. We cannot any longer be the main player in that area, because it has been a disaster so far. And if we continue to do that, we risk to destabilize the entire area, which can plunge into a civil war very easily.
Well, thank you very much, Loretta Napoleone, author of The Islamist Phoenix. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And I'll tell you, folks out there in Radio Land, this is an excellent book to read. It gave me a lot of information I didn't know before. So really, for a $60 pledge, it is a It's a bargain. It really is. So stay with the KBOO. Become a member. Renew your membership. Keep the station on the air, because a lot of stuff you won't hear anywhere else. Thank you very much.
Hey, good to have you along this morning. It is KBOO Portland, 1 minute before 10 o'clock. We're about 15 minutes away from kicking off Flashpoints today. Today featuring a historic speech by Noam Chomsky at the United Nations, speaking against Israeli apartheid. And we hear a short clip from Is the Man Who Is Tall Happy? It's a new animated documentary about the life and times of Noam Chomsky. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, Sarah Van Gelder, founder of Yes Magazine, talks about sustainable happiness. Live simply, live well, make a difference. And at 11:30, it'll be Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussions of works by African American authors. But stick around. Up next, Chris Andre, host Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary live on KBOO.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne, serving the community breakfast, lunch, and dinner for more than 30 years. Lunch was provided by Mississippi Pizza Pub, more than 10 years of pizza and salads for the community, along with live music, trivia, karaoke, and bingo. Located on Mississippi Avenue, more info, mississippipizza.com. Dinner was provided by De Nicolas Italian Restaurant, which is family-owned and serving Italian food, located at 3520